This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Three o'clock, standing tall, feeling good here on a Thursday as we roll through the week. Plenty to get to, stories popping up, breaking news all over the place. Seat Williams here. Ari's got the wheels of steel as we'll talk about Zekiel Elliott. That's the big time breaking news. What happened last night? Degorius Kluber. And of course, tonight we got a couple of games going on as well. We'll see what happens with the Cubbies, the Nats, the Eagles, the Panthers. Scott Spreitzer's in the house. WagerTalk.com. What's up, brother?
I'm doing all right. It's been a pretty incredible week. Checking out the Golden Knights in person the other night at the home opener was a blast and also emotional. Hats off to Bill Foley and the whole gang over there with the Golden Knights, the organization, the T-Mobile Arena staff was incredible. Tear-jerking, obviously, before the game. And I was there with a bunch of guys, and everybody is trying to, you know,
they were rolling, back a little bit.
It was something. And so a tremendous tribute to the victims, the families, those who were injured, the first responders, and then, of course, the Golden Knights come out and perform, you know, as well as they did the other night. It was – I'm glad I went. I got an offer to go to the game, and I almost turned it down. Now I'm thankful I was there. I was thankful that I was there as soon as that all started, the tribute. It was something incredible to be a part of, and I mean that with all due respect. I don't want to make it sound like it was a celebration, because it wasn't, but it was a tribute to the tragic events. Yeah. Couldn't have been done any better, handled any better than it was.
Yeah, I could imagine what the emotion was like inside the arena. I watched it on TV, and it was blowing things away. I teared up watching it on TV. I don't have a problem saying it. And for those of you that are sick of us talking about it, too bad. Find another show, because we're going to talk about it for as long as we want to. It's our city. By the way, as you know, tomorrow we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the G-Knights play the Bruins on Sunday. But in today's show, we're giving away two pair of tickets. You can only win once. You know the Sounder, if you've been following us the entire week. So the Sounder's going to pop up twice in this show. When you hear it, be calling number 7. You got the pair of tickets. Can only win one time. I don't know where to start here, Scott. Should we go with Zekiel Elliott off the top? And that breaking news, looking at how the Cowboys season is going. Jerry Jones meets with the players yesterday. Apparently, the information we're getting from reporters is that the players were disgruntled coming out of that meeting. So beyond that, moving forward to Zekiel Elliott, now his season, and I think, in my opinion, the Cowboys, the only factor they're going to be is spoilers. I just don't see them making the playoffs at all now.
Bit of a sophomore slump for Dak Prescott, it looks, too. And I thought last year the New York Giants laid – remember how he struggled against the Giants but was tearing up the rest of the league last year? And I thought they set the tone and showed the blueprint, and finally we're seeing teams kind of copy the blueprint, which is load up against the run, make Dak Prescott beat you with his arm. And he's a good quarterback. He's going to be a good quarterback for probably several years, but right now he's not at the level of being able to beat really good NFL defenses without a good solid running game also to go to and depend on. And he's missed a lot of throws this year, a lot of throws that have had seams that you have to hit. And again, I'm saying that he will eventually. He's just young. Right now, and he's still learning, he's going to have to hit those throws to be the quarterback that a lot of people think Dak Prescott can be. As far as Zeke Elliott's concerned, when the suspension was first announced about a possible suspension before the season began, all the books in Las Vegas said he's worth a half a point to the spread. So if he's worth a half a point to the spread, think of it this way. This is how minuscule it is. Six-game suspension, he misses six games. He's worth a grand total of 3 points to the Dallas Cowboys, Zeke Elliott's worth, at the Vegas sportsbooks.
Wow. I figured it would be higher, but I'm going to go along with the pros. I mean, and you know what you're talking about when it comes to that. But in the end, I just don't see him as a player.
Yeah.
The Eagles flying high right now. The Redskins struggling. The Giants not even a factor at all. So maybe the Cowboys got an outside chance.
Giants are the biggest dumpster fire in the league right now. Unbelievably bad. You know, it's one of those situations where now you got all your receivers who are gone. I got to look at my note. I was just talking with Matt Holt from CGT, and he gave me some betting info on the Giants and the Denver Broncos on Sunday night, because that number just keeps going up and up and up. And, you know, what is it, 12 now at last check or something like that, the Denver Broncos at home. They've taken 3 six-figure bets on the Denver Broncos already this week at CGT Sportsbooks. Sharps are also on the under, but 3 six-figure bets already on Denver. Nobody trusts the New York Giants in this situation with all those injuries to the wide receiving core.
It's amazing because both the Giants and the Cowboys are spiraling downward.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's torn up worse? I mean, I know record-wise it's the Giants, but as far as if you're looking at the franchise, which franchise is in worse trouble right now? Is it the Cowboys or the Giants?
Boy, it's tough because, you know, the Giants are not going to win 6 games this year. Dallas is going to top that, you know, I would think. Long-term, you got a quarterback that you got to replace in New York eventually, and pretty soon, I should say. And the thing is, though, with Eli Manning, I liked him. I've always liked Eli Manning, even when he was at Ole Miss in college. We don't know how much he's regressed as he's gotten older because they have no running game. The offensive line stinks. They don't run block. And so defenses don't have to play honest defense. They don't have to worry about the run, so they can tee off on Eli Manning. But they're going to have to get a different quarterback in there in the next year or two. Where the Cowboys, if Dak Prescott learns some of the nuances now in his second season in the NFL, you know, they've got their quarterback who can be around. I know a lot of people are kind of down on Dak Prescott right now for the way he's played this season as opposed to last season. But such a learning curve in such a short period of time. I still like the kid. I still think he's their starting quarterback 2 or 3 years down the road. So I'm going to say the Giants are in a little bit worse shape. I also like Garrett, the head coach for Dallas, a lot more than I like McAdoo over at, with the Giants. He's just been a joke. But that's the biggest, to me, the biggest dumpster fire in the NFL this year because of where people thought the Giants were going to be. They were one of the biggest sportsbook liabilities when it came to NFL futures this year, getting to the Super Bowl, over the win total, that whole shebang, and the books have got to be pretty happy right now with the way the Giants have played.
As far as Prescott goes, once they get the book on you, opposing defensive coordinators,
yep,
then they kind of know what to do. And they really don't, like you said, without Ezekiel Elliott now, when they come back from this bye week, they're not going to have a running game, and you could kind of shut down, and we see what's going on the receiver side. They just aren't really stepping their game up either.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Ezekiel Elliott. That's why, to me, he might be I understand what the book's got to do. To me, he might be worth a little bit more than half a point when I handicap games because at least they have a semblance of a running game when Zeke Elliott's out there. If they don't, even when teams are, you know, basically stack it up against him, there's always that occasion, 3 or 4 during the game, where he can maybe bust an 8-yard gain and gain a first down or open things up a little bit to where you got to pay attention to the running game. So for me, he might be worth a little bit more to the Dallas Cowboys than the half a point worthiness against the point spread.
What do you have as far as what Matt Holt and some others may have said about the game last night, which way the books needed that game to go? I got to tell you, that was wow, you talk about a choker. I mean, the Cleveland Indians, you're up 2-0 in that ball game. You're 2-0, and then you have Gregorius. I don't really think it was Kluber. I think it was their offense. I mean, what they average during the regular season, 6 or so runs a game? You're only going to get 2 runs in a game, basically a deciding game to see if you go to the next path. Well, this didn't help them.
Swung on and hit in the air to right field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. He's done it again. Yes, indeedy. How do you like that in the deciding game 5? Didi's hit 2 home runs in a row. Didi Gregorius makes Yankee fans euphorious. He hits a 2-run home run. And here in the 3rd inning, the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
I mean, Yankees Radio Network, I like him. A lot of folks don't. I mean, he gets fancy with it. Didi, I love it.
Yep.
But in the end, hey, if you're not scoring runs, how can you blame your ace? Your ace gave up 3 runs in 4 innings. Okay, I know. But if you're not going to score 3 runs, you can't win the game anyways.
Yeah, but you got Kluber, who all season long is that Cy Young candidate, and he can't make it through 4 full innings in either one of his postseason starts. That's on him, I think. But obviously, Yankee pitching, they pitched their butts off the final 3 games. Here's an interesting stat. Aaron Judge, he had 3 4 strikeout games. He struck out 4 times in a game, 3 times in this postseason. There's only been 2 times in the history of Major League Baseball playoffs that a player has struck out 5 times in a game. He's flirted with 5 strikeouts a game 3 times this postseason, yet the Yankees still beat the top team in Major League Baseball 3-2, winning those final 3 games. You know, listen, I had Houston, as we talked about our ratings last week, and I had Houston in New York basically I called it even, and I got to be honest with you. See, when I walked out of the studio, and I'm thinking, you know, why did I say that? Houston's a little bit better than New York. I still believe that, but New York came through, and I had, I think, 3 and 4 is where I had them ranked.
I think you had the Yankees.
Cleveland number one.
You had Cleveland one. You had the Yankees
Cubbies
three.
Two. I had the Cubbies two, Yankees three.
I'm surprised. He's like, why the Yankees so high? Well, I see now.
Yeah, and I had the Yankees three. I had the Cubs two. I had the Cleveland Indians one. And right there on the tip of my tongue when I was talking about the Yankees and I walked out, I thought, nah, man, I should have said the Houston Astros. I got them rated a little bit higher. So now we get those two teams to go head-to-head, and I can't wait to see this series. If Aaron Judge can figure out the curveball that these nasty mothers are throwing right now in postseason play, then all of a sudden he adds to that quality at the plate for the New York Yankees with Didi Gregorius and, you know, with Sanchez and right down the line. So, and by the way, hats off to Joe Girardi. Has he been making all the moves in this series thus far?
You hear rumors that his job is on the line if he hadn't got past that series. But guess what? He got past that series.
It's a win on home ice for the Golden Knights.
And that's exactly what happened. I mean, he got past that series, and that's really all you asked for.
Sure.
All right, let's turn our attention now to the game coming up today. In your opinion, what do you see as far as the matchups and what we have?
I went ahead and took the Cubbies today, believe it or not, and I thought Dusty Baker of the Nats lucked out. I had the Cubs. I bet them on Monday night around midnight Pacific time, Monday night for Tuesday. And it was $1.49 that you had to lay with the Cubs at the time. That was the best price I could find. By the time I woke up Tuesday, it was $1.65, $1.70. And it was going to be Tanner Roark going for the Nats on Tuesday in game 4. And he was going to be opposed by Jake Arrieta. The weather hits, the rain hits, they postpone the game. Steven Strasburg feels better yesterday, so Dusty Baker makes the smart move and says, well, listen, we're gonna sit Roark, and we're going to start Steven Strasburg, and he goes out and pitches his butt off. And of course, he had Taylor with a big grand slam, but I laid off of it then. I said to my clients, to myself, obviously, we name pitchers when we're betting. We're not going to bet this game between Arrieta and Strasburg. But now in this particular game, you've got Gio, the lefty, Gonzalez, going for the Nats. He did not finish the season well, Seed. He did not finish the season well at all. And I know they got the win with him on the mound last time out against the Cubs, but he only lasted 5 innings, and he gave up 3 runs and a couple of dingers, from what I remember. And as far as the Cubbies are concerned, Hendricks, do you know that the number one, the lowest ERA in the National League among starters since July 24th is Kyle Hendricks, who's going tonight for the Chicago Cubs, and he dominated, by the way, in his first start of the postseason against the Nats last Friday. We had him there. We got him again today. Here's an interesting stat I found on MLB.com. Game 5, home teams, Game 5 in the LDS, after last night's loss, they've only won 6 of the last 21 home teams in Game 5, which shows you that home field advantage isn't that big of an advantage in Major League Baseball playoff action, at least in this particular round. So I went ahead and laid the price for the Cubbies. They're around $1.15. Last check, around $1.20.
How dangerous will the Cubbies be if they get back to the pennant finale? I mean, they have the experience from last year. How much do you think that weighs in on the following season?
They won the regular season series against the Dodgers, and I think they're in better shape because Arizona beat the Dodgers, too, in the regular season. But Arizona wasn't the same team in the playoffs. We saw Zach Greinke have a couple of rough starts to end the regular season. He was never the same in the postseason that he was when he was at his best, you know, up through probably mid-September. So he was off. They had to use a couple of starting pitchers in Game 1 did Arizona. They weren't at their best, what we saw in the regular season. The Cubs are playing their best baseball, for the most part, over the final 6 weeks of the season, basically almost since the All-Star break. They're 17-6 the last 23 games.
Wow.
So if they get past the Nats, I think we see the Cubs at their best. That's going to be a hell of a series. I haven't made, obviously, you can't make a series price unless they're in it. I'll be looking at that, and that's what I'm going to make my decision when I see the price. But I think the Cubs are better equipped because of the way they're playing down the stretch and in the postseason than what Arizona was getting from their starting pitchers as they went into the postseason. Not an easy run here for the Dodgers in seat. I mean, you played high-level baseball. You played in college. You definitely took it another level than I did. When I see a team that knows how to get the job done to win, and that's the Cubs. They won it last year. That's an advantage in itself, I think, going into the series.
Wow. For the Dodgers, on the other hand, it's all or nothing, right? I mean, what are they, number 2 on the list behind the Yankees as far as salary on the roster? So every year you get to the playoffs. I mean, if you don't win it, If you don't get to the World Series, failure for the season? I mean, you got 100 plus wins?
I think it is, man. We were talking about this team might break win records, you know, back in July, late July. I mean, they went into that huge slump where they lost, like, what, 19 out of 20 games or whatever. But before that, they were just beating everybody. They had, like, it was like a 85-30 record or something like that. And we were talking about potential records being broken. So, and their manager has done, he's pulled all the right strings. He's made all the right decisions all year. I think, well, the biggest failure is the Cleveland Indians not making it to the World Series. Maybe not winning the World Series would have been a failure too. If the Dodgers don't come out of the NL, I think it is a failure this year.
I agree. For Cleveland, on the other hand, I mean, last year, I keep saying it, but Mother Nature beat them. You know, when the rain came, and you're up 3-1 in that series. I mean, now you're up 2-0. It's like, to me, I thought they were the machine of baseball, the best team in Major League Baseball. Okay, well, if you can't pass the second round to get to the pennant top, then say bye. Yeah. Dodgers, on the other hand, because of their salary on the roster, I mean, if you can't get at least to the top, say bye.
Yeah, playing the Cubs or the Nats at the NLCS is not an accomplishment to me for them after the season they had. They got to get to the World Series and maybe have to win the World Series to not be a disappointment for them this year for everything we saw. I was going to mention real quickly, I almost forgot to say this when you're playing the sounder with Didi Gregorius. Think about this. They're down 3-0, bottom of the first in the wild card game. He hits a three-run homer in the bottom of the first that completely changes that game. If he doesn't come up and hit that three-run homer, we might be talking about the Cleveland Indians just got done knocking off the Minnesota Twins in the ALDS. I mean, Didi Gregorius is the MVP of the New York Yankees thus far. Maybe Chad Green for the way he pitched on the mound after, you know, basically keeping him in it after Luis Severino got knocked around in the first of that wild card game. But, man, Didi Gregorius is the MVP of that team right now.
You know, even though he was 2-for-15 coming into this particular game last night, the other thing is this. You're right. He is Mr. Clutch.
Exactly.
And you
got
to bring that word back. I mean, and I don't mean just clutch with hits. I mean long ball clutch where the equalizer, maybe you call him the equalizer because he basically is a game changer.
Game changers. And guess what? When he came up, I wasn't sure I was going to like his defense at short. I like his defense at short. He's a player, man. Didi Gregorius is a player for years to come.
All right, let's move to the NFL. Oh, by the way, any action? Baseball?
I took the Cubs tonight. That's it as far as I don't have any series plays going. The only series that I made was the Astros in the last round. We took them over the Boston Red Sox. So we won that series play, and tonight we just in the game itself, we got the Cubs, and we laid about $1.10. It was pick 'em, $1.10, $1.05 in that neighborhood, but still like the Cubs tonight.
What are we looking at? You and company for Eagles, Panthers tonight.
Like the Panthers, but I misread this a bit because, again, it was like midnight Pacific time last night, and I was just talking to our friend Matt Holt about this. He agreed with me because I misread it too. I laid the 3 last night with the Panthers. They were minus $1.20 on that 3, and I thought, boy, this is going to 3.5. And I even told clients, I said, yeah, we got to lay the $1.20 on the 3, but it's going to get to 3.5. It didn't get there. It came down. The juice is gone, and they're at 3 solid right now, and so a little bit of money coming in on the Philadelphia Eagles today, but here's a couple of the notes about them. First of all, Fletcher Cox, their fine defensive tackle, going to be a game-time decision. I heard on NFL Live a couple of hours ago, kind of an inside little word here out of NFL Live for everybody who was watching, that they don't expect him to play tonight on the defensive tackle spot. And then offensive line, left tackle, Lane Johnson, who's a monster at left tackle and really protects Wentz, he's definitely out tonight. Concussion protocol. When he missed games last year, that Philadelphia offense couldn't do anything. Their left tackle, Lane Johnson. So there's two big missing parts potentially, one for sure, one possibly, in the trenches for Philly. And just the narrative on Thursday night football seat, home teams have such a distinct advantage. I'm not a trend player. I'm not an angle guy. But I'd be remiss in not pointing out the fact that home teams on Thursday nights in the NFL, they've covered 8 of the last 9. They've covered 14 of the last 21. It's really, you got to really have something good for me. Not saying Philly can't win tonight, but you got to have really something good for me to back a road team on Thursday night football. It's just a tough job on these short weeks.
They've been putting up points, too.
Yeah, they have.
In these games. Carson Wentz, it's nice to see his maturity. I mean, this dude, last year, remember he started out so fast out the gates and then team started to figure him out. But this year, he's showing how he's able to elude the rush just enough to get the pass off to the spot.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, he's doing a great job. It'll be interesting to see now, though, without Lane Johnson covering his backside up front on the offensive line, because I know the Carolina Panthers with that defense are going to look to attack, pin the ears back a little bit, go after Carson Wentz, see if he can do it without his best offensive lineman. It's going to be an interesting battle. Listen, give the Panthers a ton of credit because they lost Cam's favorite receiver, Greg Olsen, in week two. And their player, what's his name, Dixon or whatever, he's come in and played well. McCaffrey not only has 27 grabs of late, but he's also a great decoy coming out of the backfield in the passing game. Give Cam Newton credit. You know, boneheaded remarks last week, finally apologized, then goes on the field like nothing ever happened. You know, that you're either really immature and don't give a crap about what happens off the field, or you are one of those guys who can block everything out once you do get on the field. Cam's one of those two, but the bottom line is he's getting it done. Again, it's not a huge play for me or anything like that, but it is still on the Carolina minus the field goal.
Yeah, you know, some guys, they thrive on negativity and adversity and haters or whatever. But Cam Newton, on the other hand, he draws that negative attention. I mean, I just can't get over the look and that body language he was giving to her. It was
when he gets on the field, though, see, I think he's one of those guys that it just everything blocks out.
Or
the football.
He wants to show you, guess what, I'm still badass.
That either could be, or. Yeah, that's part of it.
But no, you're right. So let's look at some of the other games coming up here in week number six. The game tonight, 3:44. Carolina, the home team favored by the field goal. I'll let you touch on the other ones that you think are important here, Scott.
Well, I'll just give you a couple of neat notes that I got from Matt Holt over at CGT as far as where the betting handles are. As I mentioned, the Denver Broncos just going up and up as they've taken 3 6-figure bets on the Denver Broncos. How about this one? The Lions and Saints, the Sharps have been on the Saints so far this week. Big, 22 times more money on account, the Sharps, on the New Orleans Saints than on the Detroit Lions, and really no public backing on the Lions right now either. So,
and then numbers 5 and 50?
Yeah, it opened 3.5, got as high as 5.5. I saw 5 at last check. Here is maybe the stat of the week thus far. We know the Dolphins and the Falcons are going to battle it out in Atlanta. We know all about the problems. I shouldn't be laughing at the Miami Dolphins, not just with some of the stuff that's going on the field, but of course with the assistant coach off the field, crazy crap. Yeah, I mean, if you saw what Seat was doing right now, you'd...
Oh, my God.
But anyway, how about this number? We're talking to Matt a little bit ago, and he goes, we have taken absolutely zero, literally zero money over the counter on the Miami Dolphins. Not one single over the counter bet on the Miami Dolphins so far this week against the Atlanta Falcons, and it's already Thursday. And of course, that number on the Falcons has gone up and up. They're laying about 12 points last check over at CGT. So those are a couple of the interesting games. Also, I was going to look at some public sharp action. Green Bay and the Vikings. Minnesota's Sam Bradford did not practice today, by the way. He's got that knee injury. And I'm watching the game the other night. And see, you know, you being an athlete and playing a lot of ball, you're sitting there looking at him and you're going, this guy's not hurt. He's injured. Sam Bradford's not just hurt. He is injured. Yeah. And there's a difference. Did not practice today. He's probably not going to go. And so anyway, having said that, the Sharps have 6 times more money on the Vikings right now, while the public's 4 times more money on the Packers.
What?
So the public's on Green Bay. The Sharp money's on Minnesota, knowing that Bradford's probably not going to play. They did take a $20,000 money line bet on Green Bay over the counter this morning. And, you know, so anyway, it's a serious pros versus Joes matchup. The Joes on the Packers, the pros on the Minnesota Vikings. One more real quick one here as far as pros versus Joes. Right now, the LA Rams, 9 times more money on the Sharps, according to Matt Holt. The Jaguars, 10 times more money from the public on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow. That number, 2.5 and 43.
Yep.
The Packers, Green Bay on the road, 3 and 47. You could put some separation between you and everyone else if you're Aaron Rodgers and company if you win this game. You put the separation between you, and you don't really have to worry much about the division and making the playoffs. You do it early, and then you just sustain it. But on the other hand, you're right. I mean, when you have a quarterback who's, like you said, not hurt but injured, you're not going to get all the reports. And I know there's a rule, and they got rid of a probables, 2 years ago or so, when you're sending out your injury report from NFL coaches. But how many coaches are really honest?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
When you get the report, I mean, a guy, we know when a guy's out.
Right.
Generally speaking. But we don't know exactly what the injury is on quarterbacks. They're not going to, why would I want to let you know what's wrong with my quarterback?
Yeah, I don't want anybody to know. The only thing you could do is if you're an opposing coach, and let's say McCarthy and his staff right now with Green Bay, is that Sam Bradford did not practice on Thursday. He's probably not going to play on Sunday. You know, that's all you can really take from that, because they're not, I wouldn't reveal if I didn't have to, my quarterback in the exact situation they were in. So the Case Keenum did well when he came in. At least they looked like they knew what they wanted to do and accomplish once Case Keenum came in, because Bradford was just a mess because of that injury. There was one more. By the way, I took the Bears this week. They were 7. They're down to 6.5.
You and like Trubel?
Yeah, as you know, at that 7, it's more of a play against Baltimore and all they're going through right now.
Wow.
But as you know, for being in Vegas for all these years, for that number to move from 7 off of 7 down to 6.5 takes significant action. And I was one of the people that I didn't jump on with huge money, but I jumped on it anyway with decent money on the Chicago Bears. I'm not out there laying 6 figures like you, Kid Williams.
Yeah, right.
But I did jump on the Bears with a decent bet, plus the points over Baltimore. One other real quick note, because people love the Steelers in town as far as betting, and of course the KC Chiefs are getting everybody's attention right now. Kansas City, they took a $100,000 wager on Kansas City this morning. That line's got
a solo
from 3.
Bet you're talking
solo
about?
Bet.
Wow.
That's gone from 3 to 4.5. KC, the home favorite. All the sharp money right now on KC. 3 to 4.5, the line moved. And Matt told me today, he's not going to be shocked if it gets to 6. And the thing is, everybody's trying to decide right now if the Steelers are splintering in the locker room. The national anthem thing, where one guy came out, the next day said he shouldn't. Ben doesn't come out of the tunnel a couple weeks ago, says he should have. Mike Tomlin going on the podium and saying, this will not divide us. That was a red flag right there. Like, maybe he's trying to convince himself. And then you got Ben, and was it Antonio Brown yelling at each other last week? Ben has the horrible game. Says after the game, maybe I don't have it anymore. Wakes up the next day, says, I still have it. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff going on with this Pittsburgh team right now.
Yeah, and then, of course, then he rips his receiver.
Yeah, they had the fight last week.
What's going on here? You know, you got to keep that stuff in-house.
I was
going
to say, I don't blame him for going after Antonio Brown, because you got to keep your mouth shut on things like that. He doesn't need to do it. What is wrong with these guys today, man?
No, have your fight and then
between
take it
the two
room.
Of you in your among your team and your coaches, maybe not even the coaches being there, handle it among the team, your pros. Don't go public with this stuff.
Listen,
what's wrong with this generation?
Yep.
See, I feel like an old man right now shaking my fist. Get out of my yard.
Good thing you don't have any 16, 17-year-old sons. You'd be taking them in the backyard.
Aren't you supposed to do that? You and I have known each other for almost 30 years. Yeah, when we worked together over at NSS, National Sports Services, we didn't get along every day. There were times that we were like, shut up, shut up.
Yep.
But, you know, we didn't run around and scream out the door to everybody or go on radio on the Stardust line.
Or behind somebody's back.
That too. Or go on the Stardust line. When we did that, we weren't always, you know.
It was forgotten.
It was, go on the Stardust line, let's play our game, man. Well, let's suit up and play our game.
Yep. Generally speaking, ballers are like children, okay? They're like little boys. Little boys fight. But the next day, the guy throws you a touchdown, you're playing street ball, you're happy, you forgot all about what happened.
Exactly.
It doesn't seem like the case here with the Steelers in their locker room, and that right there is important. I got to ask you about last night. What the hell happened to the Troy Trojans?
Oh, my gosh.
Scott, I'm watching the game, and I'm like, okay. I picked it up. They were down 6-0 or 9-0, whatever the case. And they couldn't score. They had just beat, what was it, Florida State?
They beat LSU.
They beat LSU in LSU, all right?
It's a 20-something point
underdog. And I watched that entire game, and I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I didn't bet them, because I almost pulled it out and bet them. And they lose, what was it, 19-8, whatever the score was. I'm like.
To South Alabama.
Is that looking past? Is that what you call a soft spot where a team is actually, you come off of this high, and then the next game you're figuring you got it already? That has to be the case here.
I thought about playing South Alabama because of off the LSU win for Troy, but they had the buffer because they were off this past weekend. It happened like 10 days ago, the win over LSU. So I'm thinking with 10 days, you've already done your partying, you've already had your hangover and for beating LSU, and you've gotten over it. You've now practiced for South Alabama. Apparently, they just were not geared up to play a bad football team. And so I laid off it. I was going to play South Alabama. Nah, it's one of those situations where they've had enough days off in between games. They'll be over it. And the first score I see, I'm going, holy cow.
Are you serious?
They had nothing. I hardly watched any of the game. I was, you know, watching a little bit of baseball and watching some hockey and that kind of stuff. Made my first NHL bet last night. Took the over in the Toronto game, and we got 9 goals out of that game. And tonight, by the way, I was going to let you know that I'm on Arizona tonight. Laid a short price with them. I've never seen a team, TV or in person, play as badly or play as sloppy as the Arizona Coyotes did the other night against Vegas. It's like the situation overwhelmed them. I'm at the game, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm on my phone, like, you know, my app, and I'm like, who are they playing next? Because it was so bad. And they're hosting Detroit, which is a beatable opponent tonight. Arizona laying around $1.15 to $1.20 in that neighborhood. They were so bad, I can't even call him rock bottom bad the other night. I got to call him New York Giants bottom bad. That's how bad Arizona was the other night, how sloppy they were. I think this is a good spot to play him. If they don't come out and play hard tonight, it's a situation where they could be in for a long season for Rick Tocchet, the coach of the Arizona Coyotes. I think they come out and play really tough tonight.
Scott Spritzer, WagerTalk.com. He's on the show here. Game on. Okay, college football, anything you want to look at here before we
I'll let you know. I didn't get involved tonight. I am tempted to take the points with Cal tomorrow night. I'm going to decide a little bit later tonight. They're at home against Wazoo. I already bet Ohio State. To me, it's the best play on the board. Minus 24, I think, is where it is now against Nebraska. It's in Lincoln. The wheels are coming off. They played their butts off, the Huskers, for 2.5 quarters against Wisconsin. At one point, it was tied 17-17. They get outscored 21-zip. I think it's done. You might as well just tell Mike Riley, listen, it's been fun. You know, thank you for being a nice guy, handling things with class after Bo Pelini ticked everybody off for a couple of years. And now it's time to go get Chip Kelly or Scott Frost. We want to win again. Yeah. And I think it's that time. So
we.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean we. I mean, that's what they got to tell. You know, you caught me. I'm trying to get out of it. But here's the problem. My power ratings say Ohio State 20, 21 in that neighborhood. They're laying 24. I'll lay it anyway. This is just, they beat Nebraska 62-3 last year, and Nebraska was a better version last year than they are this year. I just think Ohio State, if they want to, they win this game 52-17. They're laying 24.
I saw Phil Steele on ESPN earlier today. He said, take UNLV and Air Force over 66. This thing is flying over. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was, I think it opened around 68, 69, and it's come down.
It's coming down. It's all the way right now. It's down to 64.
I just, as much as I root for UNLV, I didn't understand the love last week by all the bettors against San Diego State. I don't understand all the love this week either. I haven't played the game, but if I did, I'd have to. I wouldn't mess with the total at this point. Sharp money has moved it down. I would have to ask
that's
Phil.
Sharp money?
Moving that down 4 or 5 points. I know Phil, I'd have to ask him, you know, I didn't see his analysis, so I'd have to ask him. But as far as a side, if I get involved, I'd have to back the Air Force Falcons.
And they're minus 7.5, that total right now at 64. Some places you can find a 65. Anything else you want to drop?
That's about it, man. Ohio State's my favorite college play so far this week, and so you got my favorite play.
Folks can find you where?
Scott Wins on Twitter. WagerTalk.com is the website.
Good work as always, Scott. That's my brother. All right, we're going to step away. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Let's the blue.
Hey, be careful with that, man. Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
3:38 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. You got a bucket list, Ari?
Sure. Pertaining to what, though? Just everything?
Period.
Sure.
I don't. Okay, but this dude does. Okay, he's 46 years of age. He lives in Des Moines, Iowa. And his bucket list was to have the cops chase him in a car chase. Okay, wow. So you got it this morning. Started at 7:30 on Interstate 80, the marker about 133 eastbound. Trooper attempted to pull the guy over in a sedan. Simple traffic violation. The driver refused to pull over. And the chase was on from there. More troopers joined in on the pursuit as the driver led troopers into Des Moines. The chase ended at East 8th Street at Madison Avenue when the trooper used a pit maneuver on the sedan. The driver was apprehended peacefully there. Location was right across from the street from the Madison Elementary. Fortunately, no students were outside the school at the time. Troopers had initiated contact with the driver due to an expired registration on his vehicle. Troopers found nothing in the vehicle. The driver told troopers he wanted to be chased because it was, quote, it was on his bucket list, unquote.
Unreal.
And the sergeant said, I've been doing this for 28 years. I never heard that excuse before. This dude could have killed somebody. His name is Frederick Ray Jones, 46 of Des Moines, was taken into custody and in jail and being processed. To me, okay, a bucket list is something that you want to do because it's cool, not because you are a dope.
Yeah, he got exactly what he bargained for. Do you know what the pit thing is? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
that's
when
it
hits you from behind. Yeah.
Yeah, and you spin around and shoo. I would not want that.
I mean, the dude could have died.
Somebody else could have got hurt or something and call it a day.
Right? I mean, could have ran somebody over.
Yeah, that part too. And I get it. I mean, I get the thrill part. You know, you see the movies and stuff.
No,
but my God.
Don't.
But
I don't.
If it were controlled, like I thought you were going to go on and tell the story. Like, yeah, so he got with officers and they set it up so they had an open course and all this.
No. This guy challenged him.
Good
they
for
got
you,
his
Richard.
Ass.
Richard, is that his name?
Oh, yeah, that dope.
Perfect name. All right.
He's a dick. Go ahead.
So, have you ever seen Breaking Bad, Seed? I hope you say yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm the one that initiated everyone in this building to watch it from the first season.
Oh, okay. Well, I watched it on my own because I can think for myself. I'll just mess with you.
What are you into?
Okay, well, I love Breaking Bad. It's probably arguably the best show ever, I think, TV show. That's a hard argument for me. So, do you remember the iconic scene with the pizza?
Yes, vaguely.
So just to give the listeners an idea. So it's Walter White. He's the main character. And, you know, he comes home to his wife, to his home, and he brings an extra large pizza with him. And, you know, they're already fighting, so he's not in the greatest standing. Brings the pizza as kind of a peace offering. She slams the door on him. So he just gets so mad, he throws the pizza in the air, and it lands on the roof. And that scene just kind of took a life on its own and, you know, it was kind of like viral, just a thing, the funny thing to reference in pop culture. Well, the homeowners of the Albuquerque home have reportedly endured years of people visiting their house and throwing a pizza on the roof, mimicking the scene. They also said that a lot of visitors try to steal, like, there's rocks, you know, like in place of grass. They try to steal these rocks from the property as a souvenir. So Joanna Quintana, the daughter of the homeowner, told KOB4 on Tuesday that she lost count of the tourists and that her mother has finally reached the breaking point to where they're going to install a 6-foot-high iron fence to keep the unruly fans off the property. So I don't know what's the dope part. I mean, Breaking Bad is dope. The fact that it's so serious that people are coming there to throw pizza, but leave these poor people alone or just pass by, take a picture and keep it moving.
No, you got to do it. You got to do it, man. You got to throw pizza on their window, their door, and you got to take the stones from the yard.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
That's what I keep thinking, too, is in the actual show, it, like through the season, the pizza remains up there and it's all old. And it's funny. That part, that's what
bugs.
I think about these poor people.
Pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Up in London. British paramedics say a man almost died when a fish that he had caught jumped down his throat.
Wow.
Southwestern Ambulance Service says medics were called to a pier in southern England. And this right here took a 28-year-old. A man had a cardiac arrest. So they were told that the Dover fish was about 6 inches. This took place a couple of days back. But eventually, they had to get the fish out, and they pumped it out. The dude suffered, but no lasting effects were from that mishap. So, okay, that's what you call a little payback. I mean, we go out and we hang the fish, got the hook, got the bait. All right, guess what? Occasionally, fish fight back. You have a 6-inch Dover jump down your throat. To me, that's pretty damn dope.
Did he survive?
He survived.
He did. No, not the guy, the fish.
The fish? They don't tell us about the fish, whether they threw him back in the water or whatever. I hope he lived.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, all jokes aside, because your stomach breaks stuff down. But if he was in there long and if he didn't go down, he came out the way he came in.
Yeah.
So technically he might have survived.
The way you want it to happen. You want to come out the way you
Yes, please. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Kind of.
Back on to sports. Actually, this was yesterday, but the 51s got a new stadium coming. It's the AAA minor league baseball team for Vegas. If you've been living under a rock in the city, they're going to have a new home 2019. The Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority Board of Directors debated for over an hour on whether the $80 million for the stadium naming rights was a wise expenditure. So after the notice that the Mets will end their affiliation with the 51s, which was on Monday, on Tuesday, they got an 8-2 vote approving the 20-year agreement with the owners of the 51s. The Howard Hughes Corporation for the right to be the dominant sponsor of the stadium, and then the guarantee that Las Vegas, the name, always will be a part of the name of the team. So it'll always be Las Vegas something. And it is a 10,000-seat stadium. It will be known as the Las Vegas Ballpark. I feel like that could be worked on a little bit. It'll be a little more creative, but $150 million open-air stadium. And according to Howard Hughes Corporation's statement, the new stadium would feature, quote, 22 suites, club seats, berm seating, party zones and decks, picnic tables, kids zones, bars, and even a pool beyond the outfield. Is really cool. I think they're really stepping it up. That is dope to me. The whole downtown Summerlin area where it'll be located, I mean, that's just, that whole area is just popping right now, and this is just going to add to it. Pretty cool.
That is dope. You know, and the thing is, they'll be up near us.
Yeah,
get a chance when you get out of here to just roll right down and check them out.
Yep.
Downtown was cool, but let's face it, I mean, now the soccer team that we're going to get is going to take over that facility, which is good.
Kind of ran its course.
Yeah, but and they're going to change things over there. They're going to expand. I know Cashman Field is going to be changed in a different way. But to get a new facility for the one successful team that we've had here for over three decades, oh, yeah, the 51s, nothing like it in this town. I don't care what you have, what we get, the 51s are baby because they were the base and we had them first. Yeah, that is pretty dope.
That's right.
All right, UFC was sold for, what was it, $4.2 billion?
Correct.
NFL teams are, on average, about that much now. Well, Diddy Combs tweeted out, I want to buy an NFL team. Okay, I mean, you can buy an NFL team, but you got to have the snaps to do it. NFL team, maybe about $2.5 billion. More like $2.5 billion. When Diddy is worth... His worth is about $820 million, which is...
See, I told you five, I was off.
Yeah, you were off.
I thought I was high saying $500 million.
Well, I mean, imagine, though. I mean, if there's a owner who wants to get off their team, this guy can get some investors behind him. I don't know if he's a rival to Jay-Z or whoever else, but there's a number of people who would want a piece of this action. And if you're one of his friends, you may be a part of the deal if it happens. I think it would be pretty cool to have some dude who's... in a different scene in our society, I mean, the hip-hop side, to jump in to get an NFL team and see what he does with it. He's not going to wreck it. This dude's a great businessman. We see by the fact of his worth. He's $820 million his worth. So for Diddy, good luck to you, brother. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the magnitude of the level that this guy, his business sense is incredible. I mean, you could go all the way back to the music, how he ran the business, set precedence, everything. He's just relentless in his pursuit of perfection, both artistically but business-wise. I mean, that to me even supersedes the music, what he did. Also, when he did Ciroc, I don't know the exact numbers, but from what I understand, Ciroc is actually, like, the vodka that he owns is actually a larger portion of his...
Killer. Yep.
Yeah, almost more so than everything else.
We got time. You got one more?
It's a win on home ice for the Golden Knights.
I got one more here. Let me see here through my files. more pizza stories. Isn't that lovely? You know I'm hungry. So this is Pizza Hut. Hopefully they don't want to sponsor us.
Uh-oh.
So I'm not a huge fan of their pizza, but
easy.
More, you know.
Easy.
But their fashion sense, I'm also not a fan. They're making some winter parkas. And that are designed like the hot pouch bags that they use for delivery to keep your pizza hot and fresh. They're made from the same material, and they look just like them. And to me, that is not dope at all. I'm just not a fan. I saw pictures. They are interesting. So,
all right, lighters down. Final go-round next.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
3:52, final round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Hey, I want to say congratulations to a couple of winners. Was it Fernando and Ed? They heard the sounder. Play the sounder because we told you what the rules were this week. When you hear this sounder.
It's a win on home ice for the Golden Knights.
Caller number 7 was going to get the tickets to Sunday's Golden Knights ball game at T-Mobile, okay? They play the Boston Bruins, but a lot of people, I guess, got lost in the sense. We had the phones light up, but I thought it would be more people that would call, but you probably got confused. We're doing it again tomorrow when you hear this sounder right here.
It's a win on home ice for the Golden Knights.
I'm not going to tell you when. We're going to play it. When you hear that caller number 7, you get the tickets to see the Bruins and the G-Knights Sunday at T-Mobile. Very simple. All right? Don't confuse yourself. And just when you hear it, just when you hear it.
Oh, there we go.
It's a win on home ice for the Golden Knights.
That's all we're saying. Caller 7, you got the tickets. Very simple. Okay? And just if you pay attention and you follow instructions, tomorrow is the last pair we're giving away. So we've been doing it this week, so you got a shot. We got one pair tomorrow we're giving away. All right? Yeah! Thanks to Scott Spritzer, WagerTalk.com. Also for Ari, I'm Seed Williams. Tomorrow, George Cole, Aliante. He'll be our special guest. Remember, folk, Kinstuck Logart's up high. See you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow. NBC Sports Radio 920, The Game. Game on! Game over.